This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and I'm in the Spotify green room as Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We don't have a game to discuss because there's a COVID outbreak in the Yankees clubhouse. This will be what the show is about. And I don't know if the series will be going on. I don't know if Friday's game will be canceled. I don't know if the weekend will be canceled. It's all up in the air right now as I record this Thursday night at 10:36 p.m. So I'll give you everything you need to know about all the COVID stuff and I'll, you know, talk about it. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So I'll admit, I didn't want tonight's game to happen. And this is not what I wanted. You know, I also want $1 million, and that doesn't ever happen for me. So why? Hey, all right. So this is what we know so far. Jonathan Loaisiga was put on the COVID list in Houston. He was quarantining in Houston. That's why he wasn't in the final game of the series. Then we find out earlier today that Wandy Peralta and Nestor Cortes Jr. tested positive. All three of those guys are vaccinated, according to Brian Cashman. Two had the Johnson & Johnson shot, which is what the majority of the Yankees who were vaccinated got. They wanted to do the one-shot vaccination instead of doing a Moderna or a Pfizer. But one of those three got the Moderna or the Pfizer. Don't know which one. Then we find out that there are more Yankee players who are in COVID protocols. And one of them is Aaron Judge. This is bad, people. Aaron Judge was at the All-Star game. Aaron Judge came in contact with lots of people in Colorado, including Hank Aaron's elderly widow. Oh boy. The other thing that's bad is out of the three, because Aaron Judge, Kyle Higashioka, and Gio Urshela are the other three. Out of those three, we don't know if all three are vaccinated, but they're definitely not all vaccinated. Meaning, there's at least two of them in that three that aren't vaccinated. I have a guess as to who is not vaccinated. I don't want to turn this into a political thing. I really don't. But there's a certain backup catcher who is Cole's personal catcher who followed our former president, follows Fox News. I would venture to guess that he's a lot like other people who like our former president and didn't get vaccinated. I'm just assuming. I could be wrong. But there are other players who were known to be supporters of that person who didn't get vaccinated, including J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox. And speaking of the Red Sox, they're all worried because their team did not meet the 85% threshold of vaccinations. So this is a real problem. Yeah, this is a really big problem. Now, the only good thing is the vaccinated people will be okay. The ones who have it and are vaccinated should be okay because the vaccination stops you from having the bad COVID that, you know, puts you in the hospital and might make you die. But if you're not vaccinated and you get it, you're in trouble. So I don't understand why a bunch of professional athletes who know that this is going around would not get the shot. And someone was joking about the fact that these professional athletes who are against the vaccinations and who think it's a personal choice and I'm choosing not to, sure, it is a personal choice. But when you don't vaccinate yourself, you're risking other people's lives, not just your own. That's the problem. And I don't understand why people view vaccinations as something evil. We all got vaccinations when we were kids. I remember not being able to get into a school without, you wouldn't have been able to get into kindergarten without all those shots that you got as a kid. Remember going to, well, all right, I'm talking to people my age, so I'm talking to people who were born in the 70s and raised in the 80s. But if you remember going to the doctor's office, you saw all these signs about diseases. You were like, what is this? Diphtheria, rubella. You know, you had to get vaccinations for everything under the sun, and these schools made sure you had them. You had to be vaccinated against certain things to get into college. This isn't a new thing. So I don't understand why people are so against the whole vaccination thing. I can't even come up with a word. But why are they against vaccines? Because you don't know what's in them? I'd rather have a vaccine where I don't know what's in me and not die of COVID than die of COVID. I know people who have lost relatives to COVID. And during the lockdown, they didn't even get to be with them when they died. This is a serious thing. People need to take this seriously. So the vaccinated guys are mostly asymptomatic, as far as I know, from what came out. They're kind of being secretive about some of it. I'm sure we'll find out more Friday. As I said, I'm recording this on Thursday night. But for right now, this is just a mess. And what's sad about it, not sad, but what's kind of ironic in a way, as I said, the Yankees met the threshold, 85%. They're one of the teams in Major League Baseball who actually did that. The stadium was a vaccination site. They made it a big deal that they were getting vaccinated. You know, they came out and said, yes, the players right now are going to get vaccinated. They're getting the Johnson & Johnson shot. So they did, for the most part, everything right. And this happens. In a moment, I'll have more about this, see if I find any more information, but from what I'm seeing, there's not much out there. But first, let's talk about Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And did you know that they have so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? There's coconut, cherry barcia, funny name, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you listen to this show, you know that my favorite flavor is mint brownie. If you did a mint brownie drinking game while binge listening to Locked On Yankees, you would be drunk. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're high in taste. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and team field. So go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, you should get one of those mixed boxes. They're really great. You can try every flavor and then figure out what's your favorite and just get a ton of boxes of your favorite, like I do with mint brownie. Use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. I'm sitting here just in shock that this is happening. And it goes with the rest of the season. This season is not turning out the way anyone expected in so many respects. There were people who were hoping the Yankees would be bad, of course, because there are always people who hope they're going to be bad. But a lot of people were seeing this team doing big things, and they're not. They're 46-43. Heading into the second half. And now they're heading into the second half with 6 players testing positive for COVID-19. You can't make this up. It's truly unbelievable how this season is going. Everything that can... Well, all right, no, I'm not going to say that. That's not true. Because there could be a lot more going wrong for the Yankees. But it just seems like when you think things are going to turn around, they take 3 steps back. It happens when they play in series. You saw it against Houston. It happened against the Angels. It happened It happened against Seattle, too. You know, they win the first two out of three and they get shut out by a rookie. You know, Houston, let's not talk about the implosion on Sunday. And I keep saying Sunday would have been a lot different if Jonathan Loaisiga didn't get COVID. He could have pitched. It would have been different. That game wouldn't have ended the way it did. I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't have. So, yeah, this whole COVID thing started last weekend. We're almost a week into it. Now, here's my question. Okay, I asked this on Twitter earlier. If they knew that Wandy Peralta and Nestor Cortez had tested positive, along with Loaisiga already testing positive last weekend, wouldn't two players testing positive be enough for them to be like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have a game? But then they went out and they came out with the news that Domingo Germán was going to start tonight's game against Eduardo Rodriguez, and they were just plugging along. And then all of a sudden, oh, boom, more players are positive. I don't understand. Two players isn't enough for them to say, you know what, I think we should cancel this game. What is MLB doing? Because it was an MLB decision, from what Brian Cashman was saying. And he said that the Yankees, you know, respected that decision, obviously, because they can't really go out there with that many guys not playing. And what are they going to do about Higashioka? Who are they going to call up? Because they don't have a backup catcher. So, Oh, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. I can't believe this is happening. I've been sitting here all night thinking, what? How? What? I would have expected this to happen in 2020, not in 2021, not after all the vaccines. But this is, again, the important thing, get the vaccine. Because if you do get it, you'll either be asymptomatic or you'll have light symptoms. You might lose your sense of taste and smell, which for me wouldn't be a bad thing some days. Some people here cook some funky stuff. You know, you're not getting the bad COVID. I know people who had COVID before they realized it was COVID. In early 2020, they got this weird illness that made them so sick that they were having trouble breathing. They lost their sense of smell and their sense of their taste. And I know someone who got it in February of last year before it really was known and before it really got here. And they're still having issues tasting and smelling things all this time later. It's nearly a year and a half later. So this is no joke. We're in this for a really long time, and I just don't understand why there are still people holding out from getting the vaccine. And then the bad thing about this is, oh, well, they got the vaccine and they got sick. So what's the point of the vaccine? Again, as I said earlier, the vaccine will prevent you from being in an ICU and from being vented and, you know, intubated and all that stuff. Because once you're vented with COVID-19, meaning ventilator, you don't usually come out of that. There are rare cases of people coming out from being ventilated for a few weeks, but most of the time, no. There was a story about a 24-year-old down south. He was the only member of his family who didn't get vaccinated. He's been in and out of hospitals for 3 months, and he had to have a double lung transplant. He's only 24. This isn't an old people disease only. This isn't an immunocompromised person disease only. Anyone can get it, and anyone can have a really bad time with it. So again, please get vaccinated. And I know I'm going to get complaints about this, but my team that I cover, the team that I've been watching since birth, essentially, is going through a COVID outbreak. So what else am I talking about? There's no game. There might not be a game tomorrow. So here we are. And I already did my this date in Yankees history. Although, you know what? Maybe I'll look back at July 16th, because July 16th could have had something happen. Maybe I'll do that in segment three. I've actually had enough of talking about COVID-19. So let's do that. I will talk about July 16th in segment number three. Until then, because I have a few minutes to kill, wouldn't it be something? And someone brought this up on Twitter. I can't remember who it is. Wouldn't it be something? The one season where Aaron Judge has played most of his games. He was only out those few games when he had that weird injury that no one wanted to talk about, and then they put him back into the lineup and he was okay. Wouldn't it be something if COVID knocked him out for the rest of the season? It would be perfect for the 2021 Yankees. I don't want this to happen, obviously. I don't want anyone to get sick. I don't even want the Red Sox to get sick, even though they're not all vaccinated. And, you know, if they got sick and didn't win the World Series, it would be great for Yankee fans, but I wouldn't wish that on anyone. So, I just think it would be really perfect for the 2021 Yankees to have this happen to them and have this be the thing that ruins their season. If you listened to yesterday's show, I was worried about the upcoming schedule because there's 4 against the Red Sox, 2 against the Phillies, 4 more against the Red Sox. They're playing the Rays, then they're going to play the Marlins. It's a tough schedule. Marlins maybe not, and the Phillies maybe not, but maybe. But the 8 against the Red Sox and the 3 against the Rays. Yeah. No. Who knew? Who knew that, no, that schedule wouldn't be the Yankees' downfall in 2021. COVID-19 would be. In a moment, we'll look back at July 16th in Yankees history and see what happened. I don't know what happened. We will look it up together. It should be fun. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as the NBA Finals roll on. It's tied 2-2. Good game by Milwaukee the other night to tie that series. So if you want to bet on that, you can. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so on Thursday's show, I looked back at, briefly, 2016, 2011, and 2006. But now that I have time, let's look back at July 16th, 1996, and it just so happens that the Yankees played the Red Sox, and they beat them. So let's see what happened. It was a Tuesday night. They were up in Fenway Park. The attendance that night was 34,676. Your starting pitchers were Jimmy Key and Roger Clemens. Now that was a marquee matchup in 1996, so this was a big game. Let's go through the lineups. You know I love doing that when I recap these. So, since the Yankees are the visiting team, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill, Darryl Strawberry, Tino Martinez, Mike Aldretti, oh my goodness, Joe Girardi, Andy Fox, Matt Howard was playing second. Oh my goodness. Okay, for Boston, Jeff Fry, John Valentin. Was it Valentin or Valentin? I don't remember. Mo Vaughn, remember him. Jose Canseco, Tim Nehring, oh, Mike Stanley, Kevin Mitchell, Jose Malave. Malave. Whoa, just kidding. I'm hyper because I'm in a room without air conditioning. He played left field, and Lee Tinsley was your ninth batter. So yeah, Roger Clemens, your starter. Your umps, Jim Joyce, Ten Hendry, John Hirschbeck, Jim McKeon. The weather, the start time weather was 86. Wait, it was a Tuesday, so it must have been a night game. Yeah, it was a night game. But the wind was 16 miles an hour out to center field with no precip. That's a hot breeze at 86 miles an hour. Yeesh. So Jimmy Key only pitched 5 innings. He gave up 4 okay, hold on. 4 runs on 4 hits. All 4 were earned. 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. That's quite a line. And he gave up a home run to Tim Nehring in the first inning, so things started off well for Jimmy Key. Now, Roger Clemens pitched 6 innings, gave up 6 runs on 7 hits, walked 5, struck out 8. He did not give up a home run. In fact, none of the Red Sox starters gave up a home run, and that home run that Jimmy Key gave up was the only one that the Yankees gave up. Bob Wickman came in to get the hold. Mariano Rivera pitched 2 innings, got a hold. And Dale Polley came in to pitch the final inning for the Yankees. There is a trivia question for you. For the Red Sox, Eric Gunderson came in after Clemens, Rich Garces, Joe Hudson. So let's see how all the scoring happened. Why not? So yeah, as I said, Nehring hit that home run in the first inning, and Jeff Fry and Valentin were on base. Ground rule double and a walk. Mo Vaughn struck out swinging. Jose Canseco hit a pop fly to first and then the home run. So, ugh. Unbelievable. Two outs and he gave up a home run. And then Mike Stanley grounded out. I remember, was anyone else my age angry when Mike Stanley went to the Red Sox? It just seemed so wrong. Then the Yankees came right back in the top of the second. Darryl Strawberry flew out to center, or flied out, whatever. Tino Martinez hit a ground out to short. Then Mike Aldretti walked. Joe Girardi hit a single. Andy Fox hit a single that scored Aldretti and advanced Girardi to third. Matt Howard hit a single that scored Girardi and advanced Fox to third. Derek Jeter hit a ground rule double that scored Fox. Howard made it to third. Bernie Williams hit a single. Howard scored. Jeter made it to third. And then Paul O'Neill hit a line out. So the Yankees went up 4-3. The bottom of the second, two outs right away, Kevin Mitchell and Malave fly out and ground out. Then Tinsley was hit by a pitch. He steals second while Jeff Fry is up, and he advances on an E4 to third base. Jeff Fry walks, Valentin walks, then Mo Vaughn walks, which scores Tinsley, and they tie the score, and Jose Canseco hits a ground out. So, yeah, two outs right away, and then, you know, walking. Come on, Jimmy Key. Then it's quiet until the top of the fifth when Bernie Williams gets an out to start. Foul bunt pop fly to third base. I'm sure my dad was thrilled when that happened. Nothing angered him more than when a guy popped out while bunting. Drove my father crazy. Paul O'Neill walks. Darryl Strawberry hits a double that scores O'Neill. So the Yankees are up 5-4 at that point. Okay, so they never gave up the lead. It wasn't as if it was 5-5 and then the Yankees scored four runs, because in the top of the seventh, Roger Clemens is still in the game. He walks Bernie Williams. Paul O'Neill hits a double. Bernie scores. They take Clemens out. That's when Eric Gunderson came in. And then Darryl Strawberry walked. Tino hit into a line drive double play. Rich Garces came in and got Gerald Williams, who pinch hit, to ground out to end the inning. So it was 6-4 Yankees. In the top of the eighth, the Yankees scored three more times. Joe Girardi hit a single. Andy Fox reached on an E5. Girardi made it to third, Fox to second. Matt Howard hit a single. Girardi scored. Fox scored. Derek Jeter struck out looking. Bernie Williams walked. Paul O'Neill hit a double that scored Howard. Williams made it to third. And the Yankees were up 9-4. So the bottom of the ninth, the Red Sox scored a run. Dale. He replaced Mo in the ninth inning. He gave up a double to Jeff Manto. Then Tinsley grounded out, Fry grounded out, so two outs with a runner on second. No, third. Fry hit a ground out to shortstop. Manto advanced to third. Pardon me. Then Valentin hit a single to left that scored Manto, made it 9-5. And then while Mo Vaughn was up, there was a passed ball. Well, first there was a defensive indifference, then a passed ball, and Valentin made it to third. And then Mo Vaughn struck out swinging. So the Yankees win 9-5. And that was 1996. We won't go in depth for 91 or 86, but let's look at 91. Oh, okay. Yankees lose 5-0 to Seattle. Not surprising. 1991, they were horrible. Although they were 41-43 at this point in 1991, which isn't far off from 46-43. So, you know, So the Yankees didn't score a run. They had six hits. Seattle scored five runs on seven hits. And your winning pitcher was Brian Hullman, and your losing pitcher was Scott Sanderson. Scott Sanderson was 10-4 at that point. So let's look at 86. Why not? 86 was an odd year for the Yankees. No games on July 16th. That must have been the All-Star break, I'm assuming. Yeah, because it was Wednesday. Oh, I mean, the Yankees weren't bad in 1986. At this point in 1986, Boston was 56-31. The Yankees were 50-39. Cleveland was 46-39. Baltimore, 46-41. Toronto, 47-43. Detroit, 43-44. And Milwaukee, 41-45. Because if you remember from the 80s, if you're old like me, Milwaukee was in the American League, and they were in the American League East, because there was only an East and a West. And it always cracked me up that Atlanta was in the NL West back then, because as you know, Atlanta is really far west. So to recap, the Yankees have a COVID outbreak. Thursday night's game is canceled. We don't know about Friday. We don't know about the rest of the weekend, to be honest. And the scary thing is Aaron Judge is one of the guys who tested positive, and he was at the All-Star break, and he could have possibly accidentally infected a lot of people around baseball, and not even just around baseball, but autograph seekers and picture takers. So yeah, this is bad. It's not good. Especially if those people aren't vaccinated. Now, it's possible I might put up two shows for Friday, because I'll put this up first, and if something happens, I might have to do an emergency podcast at some point during the day on Friday. So keep an eye out for that. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. And if you listen to Friday's episode, you may hear a familiar voice. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, possibly, or enjoy your Friday morning. I may be talking to you later.